It's going to be simple today. Simply turn in your pew Bibles or open your Bible up and simply turn to Psalms 117. I'm going to be saying that word a lot. You see, I heard a little story told this week about a preacher who went to preach at a revival. And as he was preaching, his wife sat on the front row and every now and then whispered up to him, "Kiss." And after the third day of the revival on the last day, finally the preacher that was at the church hosting it said to the visiting pastor, he said, "Man, your wife loves you." And he goes, "What do you mean?" He goes, "All these three nights I've looked down here and I've seen your wife every so often during your sermon look up and just say, 'Kiss.' She really loves you." And he goes, "Well, she does, but that ain't part of it. She's reminded me to kiss." And the preacher looked at him and said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Kiss. Keep it simple, stupid." "Kiss. Don't you start." Got it? 117. Simple. Look at these little two short verses. "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol Him, all you peoples. For great is His love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Amen." Simple. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for this opportunity to break open Your Word and to dig in deep. Thank You for the message that is about to come. Let it touch hearts. Let it strengthen. Let it take us from here and go through the week to come, walking closer with Jesus and being filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now, it must have been dark that morning, as it usually was. And I imagine the pilots were getting excited because that's what I've always read. I have a great fascination with anything that has to do with an engine, and you all well know that. But any time I can hear a story that surrounds a historical event, my ears perk up. And so when I heard this story a long time ago, it had no meaning until I recently heard it again, told by Brother Bill Caputo from the district office. And after he told the story, I went up and walked up to him because he was using it to illustrate something else. And I said, "There's a whole sermon in this story, and I'm going to use it." And Brother Bill said, "Just send me a check," which I didn't think was funny. But it was a dark morning in World War II. It was time, as it always was, to fly their sorties into enemy land and to try to stop what was going on. And B-17 pilots had it the worst because they flew a smaller airplane that had to fly lower. And the return rate on those was low. And if you were a B-17 pilot and you climbed into the cockpit, you pretty much knew you had about a 90% chance of not coming back. Didn't matter. You got in. You strapped on. The pilot sitting in there, the captain, looked over at his co-pilot, and they ran through the checklist, and they talked to everybody on board the aircraft, and finally the order was given, mags on, and the big switches were thrown to the left, and the carburetors were riched up, and those big engines roared to life, and they take off down the runway. Fire streaming out of it, off into the sky, to take care of their mission. And as they approached the enemy territory, this B-17 captain, flying in, radioed to his bomber, it was time to go to work. And at that point in time, the great flak guns opened up. And the airplane was buffeted and beaten and torn up to fly two missions, to drop here and to further on and drop. And finally, his co-pilot looked over and said, "I see fuel pouring from the tanks." For those who don't understand, that's the death sign. When the fuel started pouring from the tanks, in a few moments, it would be quickly over. And so the pilot radioed, "I'm going to try to fly back." You see, the gunners in the ground were shooting 50-millimeter shells into these airplanes, about that big around, in an effort to knock them out. And they kept waiting as they turned around and flew back, not completing the whole mission. They turned around and they flew back, seeing the gas pouring from the tank, and he made it back to the runway and landed the plane safely. He got out. Walked up to the mechanic on the ground and said, they shot my fuel tank. They walked around the sides of the plane and started examining the fuel tank. Not one, not two, but 18 holes pierced the fuel tanks. It still doesn't mean anything to you yet. Let me explain to you. Those rounds carried incendiary devices on them that were designed that once the bullet pierced, they were to explode inside the fuel tank and finish the job. 17 shells, 17 bullets lay in these fuel tanks. They pulled them out. And they unscrewed the top of the bullet where the incendiary device would be to find there was nothing there. On 16 rounds of 17, no incendiary devices had been placed in the rounds. When they got to the 17th one and they unscrewed the firing mechanism, they found a note in there written in Czechoslovakian. The note translated said this: this is the simplest thing I can do to save you. The rest is up to you. The simplest thing I can do. The simplest thing. I'm telling you right now, I can't imagine what went through that pilot's mind. Had it been me, I'd have never gotten back in the cockpit. I figured that was my call. But it is the simplest thing. And if we have to look at it, how simple it is to be a Christian at the beginning. We make life so complicated sometimes. I have a very good friend who is into electronics, and it's not Greg. For as much as Greg loves him, I'm telling you right now, this old boy I know is nuts. Now, I went to his house not too long ago. He has a theater in his house. A theater. He got more money than sense. You know, like somebody loving tractors. I went in and sat down. He goes, hey, let's look at this theater thing. I said, okay. He picked up a piece of platform that had a wall of remote controls on it. And he began to turn everything on, and he would punch this button and do this and turn this and twist that. And pretty soon we're watching the movie. And I said, how do you shut that thing off to go to the bathroom? He said, I don't. I just run. That's how complicated we have become. When you look down and there's a wall of remotes like that. Or how complicated it is that you have to buy a car today and you have to sit down and read a history book on how to run it before you can leave the showroom. Used to be you got in, put the key in, turned it on, and drove. How simple is it, how far we have come from being simple today that everything has to have extra. It's gotten too far away. Now, as you well know, there are things that trigger me into sermons. There are moments in my life, there are moments in time, and this is no different. When I started thinking about the simple life and how simply we became a Christian, in Romans chapter 10, in the 9th verse, we make being Christians too complicated sometimes, and Paul speaks to that to the Romans. We make being Christians too complicated. Look at some of the rituals, and I'll tell you how complicated things get. I'm reminded of a story where at a particular country church, it was time to do the communion, and they did a different kind of communion. They used meat, and they used bread, and they used something else. And so at that time, a hush falls on the whole church, and everybody bows their head down. And the deacons pick up a large tray and they walk to the front. The tray is covered in a beautiful white cloth with frills and lace all around the edges. And the preacher kneels down and he prays and everything is laid out. And they carry it up to the front and they put it down on the altar. And they bow and they say prayers. And they unfold one line of the cloth and they say another prayer. And they unfold some more and they say another prayer. And they fold it back and they tuck it under just so. And then they stand back. And the ceremony begins. And it's beautiful. A young woman sitting in here, a new Christian witnessing this, turns to the lady sitting next to her and goes, why do they do that? And the lady says, I don't know. And so begins this young girl's mission to find out why they do that. And she finds the most wise lady in church, usually the elderliest, I'm sorry, women, please don't get mad at me. She finds the oldest woman in the church, and the oldest woman says, you know, I've been waiting for somebody to ask me that question. She says, we've gotten a little too carried away with our communion. She says, you want to know why they wrapped that thing up with that white cloth like that? How it got started? And she said, yeah. And she goes, well, I'm telling you, I'm 100 years old and have been at this church since I've been a baby. And when I was a young baby, when I was a young girl, we didn't have screens on the windows and we didn't have fans. And so we kept the windows open in the summertime. And when we had communion, they put a sheet on top of that thing to keep the flies off, and that's all it was for. We've gotten too complicated. I like things simple, because probably that's the only way I can understand certain things. We've gotten too complicated. Paul writes this in that 10th chapter, if you've gotten to it now, in the Romans, starting in that 9th verse, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, quote, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Pretty simple, huh? You don't have to put your left leg in, take your left leg out. You don't have to do anything. You just simply have to be believing. It's simple. It's a simple life. This week I complicated my life to the point where I thought my head was going to fall completely off my shoulders. You see, this past Friday was Kids Day at the Frederick County Fairgrounds. And I had determined that as much as I had been away from my family over the past 3 weeks, and as much jokes as I've made about it, I have missed them terribly. I missed my wife, and I've missed my children. So I was going to do whatever it took to have Friday off. And at my new job, luckily I have a new partner to help me out. A partner in mischief, if you will. And Dennis said the same thing. He said, I want to be off Friday too. Let's get to it. And so we worked like crazy men to be off on Friday. We worked so hard that on Thursday, we both started at 3 o'clock in the morning just so we could be done on Friday, and worked until midnight Thursday night. Got done. I did all that. Got everything right and ready. The next morning, laid out all these plans. I'm going to get up early in the morning. I'm going to get in my shower. I'm going to get cleaned up. I'm going to get everybody out of bed. We're going to be on the fairgrounds at 8 o'clock. We're going to see everything we want to see. And at 2 o'clock, we're going to be on the way home so we don't see no traffic. So at 9:30, when I woke up, where I had fallen asleep with one shoe on and one off, in my easy chair, I went, And I got told a lesson in simplicity when Wally came downstairs, climbed into my lap and says, Daddy, you need a kiss and a hug. And he hugged me and he kissed me, and then he tottered off. At that point, I turned off the complication machine and said, whatever we do today, it doesn't matter. And we spent all day at the fair. We saw animals and we climbed on tractors. And we ate a lot of corn dogs and we rode rides. And it was all about them running back to me with the joy in their face at just simply being able to be together. Friends, brothers and sisters, it's that simple. Isn't it? It's that simple to be a Christian. You know, I'm starting to believe that nothing in this world can be ever too heavy, too strong, too defiant, too troublesome, that cannot be cured with something as simple as a hug and I love you. That's why I make you do it. That's why. And it's strange for me, because I did not used to like hugging people. Oh, here they want to come and hug me again. You know, and sometimes the women at the church had the thick lipstick and it never made any sense to me. It was not something I was into. Because I had gotten too complicated. I had forgotten why they wanted to hug me and pinch my cheek till the blood vessels broke. Because they simply loved me. I simply love you. That's what Paul says here. In that letter to Romans, in that 117th Psalm. Simply love God. He'll just be there. That's it. Simply love Him. 13th verse, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. My children hug me. My wife hugs me. We have a new kitten. It hugs me. And it feels good. Robert Fulghum wrote a letter to the Kansas City Times. He said, you know what? Most of what we need to know about how to live, about what to do, about how to be Christians, about how to get along in this life as simply and uncomplicatedly as possible, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom, not at the top of a graduate school mountain, was found right there in the school sandbox. Right there in kindergarten in the school sandbox. He said, these are the things I've learned. You ready? Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't pour sand in somebody else's hair. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. When you go out into the world, and I love this, watch out for traffic. Hold hands and stick together. The writer has captured part of what Jesus meant when he said, unless you become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. I'm going to show you how simple I made it today. 2 pages. Because sometimes I find myself getting wound up and I cannot get myself stopped. It's a simple life that we lead, started out. You're simply born. You simply take everything as it comes at you. And then you mess it up. Life is laid out very simple. And the Christian life is even more so. When people are all the time coming at me with 12,000 Christian questions, you know, and you know how to get those questions. What happens if I sit in the wrong pew? Will somebody be mad at me? Do I got to sit up all the way up front? I don't own a tie. Do I got to wear a tie to church? You know, it's this question and that question. Makes me think back to the 16th chapter of Acts. Paul and Silas in prison. Remember that? Want to follow along? 16th chapter of Acts. Let's go from the 25th verse. We all know how they got there. They were doing simply what God had laid on their hearts. Go in and preach and say my name. Say everybody you can be saved by believing in me. And they got thrown in jail. But if you start at that 25th verse, you get to read these beautiful words. About midnight in the 16th chapter. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Stop right there. Simple. Bound in shackles, chained up, beaten, hungry, tired, praying and singing. Praying and singing. There's an old gospel hymn, and I know somebody out there knows it. And I'll have to figure it out, but just like Paul and Silas, give me that old-time religion. There, I got it. Simple. Let's go on. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose, the jailer woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, underline it sometime, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" 31st verse, they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Period. Simple. Simply put. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house, and at that hour the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had become to believe in God, he and his whole family. Simple question, simple answer. Oftentimes today, we let things get too bound up. We mess it up. I've often said, and maybe I've said in here, and I don't remember, I got married just so I could have somebody laugh at me. That's not me being funny. That's the truth. Because it kicks me down a notch and remembers, kiss. Keep it simple, Paul. It doesn't work. And I'm great for doing that. I'll get a hold of things and I'll say, okay, here we go. I'm going to do this here. I'm going to put this here. And I'm going to do that. And I'm going to put this thing here. And I'm going to go here. And I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to get over here. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this happen. And I got this figured out. I'm going to do this over here. And this person over here. And there's no way this can possibly blow up in my face. And I turn and I look. And there she is going, boom. Keep it simple. You cannot do everything. You cannot do anything that God's not going to let you do. You cannot do anything without Him. We put too much more on than was ever intended. I got a truck out there. I love working on my own vehicles. I do. I raise the hood of that thing and look down inside amongst that computerized mess and my eyes go crossed. It's too complicated. I tried to change oil in it one time and had to go get the owner's manual. We as Christians let things get too complicated in that way. Whether sometimes we realize it or not, we'll make that mistake. And I fouled it up again yesterday. We were sitting at the Cracker Barrel having lunch. And we had the greatest waitress I have ever had in all of my life waiting on us. My tea glass never got empty. You know how you get the biscuits and everything? She brought us two plates. She loved on those children, brought them stuff, was on it. Beautiful woman telling us how special those kids were, how much they loved them. And I spent my time making sure they would eat instead of talking to her. And the next thing you know, she got away and I got home and I went, oh, I did it again. I wasn't letting things be simple and I didn't ask her, hey, where do you go to church? Hey, will you come see me one Sunday? I'm kicking myself for it. So because of that, I'll just have to go back to Cracker Barrel. No, that's not why I did it. Friends, let's just keep it simple. Let's just keep it right in close. You know, when Jesus was walking along, and he was starting to look for everybody. I chose to use Luke's passage because I like how it begins when he was asking his disciples to follow him. He didn't give them a long, drawn-out thing. He didn't draw up a 20-page contract. He didn't say, here's what you're going to do. Here's how everything is. You start in that fifth verse, and you read it the first one. It says, one day Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. With the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw the water's edge, two boats, left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and talked to people from the boat. In the fourth verse, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simple. Take your boat, go over here, put your net in the water. Simon answered in the fifth verse, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed him. Follow me. Amen. That's all he had to say. That's all he's ever said. You don't see the Bible screaming and hollering, you must, you must. You don't see it getting out there in strong language. All you see in there is if, follow me, believe in me, this is what you need to be. Don't mess it up by complicating it. Things around here are simple. And we can see that. And everything that we are as Christians starts with a simple idea. On Wednesday night, we'll meet. I'll meet Charles Nayani for the first time. Some of you have the pleasure of knowing him. And we'll see how a simple idea became a great blessing from God. Simple. Great. Simple. Nothing in this world, nothing can melt my heart more than hearing a boy walk up to me, and I got to tell you, I'll get through this. Hearing a boy walk up to me as I've got my head under the hood of a tractor at the fair, walking up and sticking his head under the hood and looking around and looking at me and going, "Daddy, I love you." That about broke me right there. Simple. How simple it should be that we look at God and go, "Daddy, I love you." Simple. Just the simplest faith. We need to use it. We need to see that He has given us the simplest thing, that's salvation. All we have to do is use it easily. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The simplest thing for a great blessing. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are hard-headed. We take what You give us and we go sometimes in the wrong direction with it. Father, I pray that You crack open our hearts and refill them. Simply. As the man wrote in his note, "This is the simplest thing I can do. The rest is up to You." That's exactly what You said for us, Father. "This is the simplest thing I can do. The rest is up to us." Let us not forget it. Let us imprint upon our heart Jesus and His life and His words and His love. We do not spend nearly enough time talking about that because the world has complicated us to the point where they don't want to hear the same old thing. Well, it is the same thing. You wrote so much as to say, word on word, rule on rule, line on line. You gave us salvation. You gave us the love through Jesus, Your Son. All we simply have to do is take it. Let us ponder that for the week to come. Let us try to simplify our lives a little bit and spend some time looking for that neighbor that simply needs a hug or a glass of lemonade or a flower or something. And simply say to them, "Jesus loves you and so do I." Simply. In Your Son Jesus' precious name, we pray this, and all God's children said, Amen. Amen.